10-minute warm-up.
10-minute warm-up.
We weren't sure what we were doing. And this is one of those songs, too, that I know for me, songs take me back to places and to people. And this is one of those songs, every time I hear it, I think of my great-grandfather. His name was Ben Rouse, and it was my mom's grandfather. And he would sit on the end of the couch, and he would sing this song to the top of his lungs. And so this is one of those songs that brings back some memories for me.
That's a wonderful thought this morning, isn't it? Word will never grow old. I don't hear that song, and I don't think about Harvey and Madge Crane. They used to sing. Now Harvey's singing in glory, but Madge is still with us, and they'd sing that song. Wow. Praise the Lord. You have anything on your heart this morning? Testimony? A song?
My mom made me
Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? If you have your Bible and you want to be turning, turn to Psalm 71. Today is Grandparents' Day. Marion McQuaid campaigned for Grandparents' Day because she appreciated her grandparents so much. And Jimmy Carter made the Grandparents' Day a national holiday on August the 3rd, 1978. It was three purposes for Grandparents' Day. It was to commemorate and pay respect to grandparents, to recognize the importance that older people can have on the lives of the young, and to give grandparents the opportunity to show love and support for their children's children. And I thank the Lord for my grandparents. I had some good ones. My grandfather on my mom's side, I never did meet, never did. He had passed away when I was either before I was born or real little, but I knowed the others, and I thank the Lord for them. Want to share with you just a few minutes, or it won't be long, but some quotes taken from papers of a class of 8-year-olds about Grandparents' Day. Grandparents are a lady and a man who have no little children of their own. They like other people's. Another one is, a grandfather is a man grandmother. Grandparents don't have to do anything except be there when we see them. They are so old, they shouldn't play hard or run. It is good if they drive us to the store and have lots of quarters for us. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. Another one said they can take their teeth and gums out. Everybody should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have internet, because they are the only grown-ups who like to spend time with us. They know we should have snack before bedtime, and they say prayers with us every time and kiss us when we've acted bad, even when we've acted bad. And a 6-year-old was asked where his grandma lived. Oh, he said, she lives at the airport. And when we want her, we just go get her. And when we're done having her to visit, we take her back to the airport. Amen. If you would stand with me, I'm going to read you a couple of verses, but I'll go through a lot of these verses here in Psalm 71. Probably this psalm was... Lot thinks, and a couple of versions of the Bible had described it to David. Some thinks maybe Jeremiah and some other, but I kind of think David probably did write this one. But this was a psalm in of whoever wrote it. They were in the golden years. They were getting. They've lived a long life. God had been gracious to them, and this is pretty much a prayer for the aged, or a prayer, and I've titled the message, A Grandparent's Prayer. This is a good grandparent's prayer. And verse 17, it says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared unto Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all your mercy and grace. Lord, we're so thankful to be able to call upon you today. I'm thankful for grandparents. I'm thankful for godly grandparents. Lord, and I'm thankful, Lord, for this church and each one that's here, and ask for your blessings to be upon us this evening or this morning. And God, that you'd watch over us, and Lord, you'd touch our hearts in this being together. Thank you for the good old songs of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, touch and accomplish your will today. I pray that you'd send the preacher. I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, you'd bless and accomplish your will and your goal today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We will recognize some grandparents after the service at the end of the service this morning. Also, I forgot one announcement. Homecoming is the last Sunday of the month. Also, we won't be having the food, but we'll have a singing, and we'll be having our homecoming. But as I looked and I started praying about what to preach on Grandparents Day, and this passage come to mind, and I started, I read it and done some studying and see what some other folks had to say about it. And I think this really hits home, and it's a prayer for the aged. In verse 1, that the psalmist said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." This is the best legacy that a grandparent or anyone could ever leave for their family, that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's the best thing. It's the most comforting at a funeral. It's the most comforting at the bedside of one that's suffering. It's the most comforting thing that you could ever leave anybody, that you say, "I've trusted the Lord, and when I leave, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Amen. That helps in the rough times, and that is the best thing. I want to share with you some more. Be sure your kids and your grandkids know that you're Christian. Be sure they know where you stand with the Lord. You know what the best testimony, and I've heard people get one of the best testimonies ever be, is that you could look and see where they've left their Bible out and they've been reading their Bible. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. J.M. told me of a guy, and it was in when they were in battle, and they were wanting somebody to climb up and put the flag up on a pole, and they were getting shot when they would go, and one guy said, "I'll go, what time is it?" And they said, "What does it matter what time?" And he said, "I know my mom and dad's at home praying for me at 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, I'll go up that pole." Amen. See, isn't that good? That's something in the past. That's something that we leave for, and our kids and our grandkids know where we stand with the Lord. In verse 5, he goes on and he said, this is David's, I've got this wrote down in my Bible, this is David's secret for success. "For thou art my hope, O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth." You want a secret for success? That's it. Trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not in thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's putting our trust and faith in him. And young people, I'm going to talk to you here a little bit. I want you to get a hold early, get in early, and get involved and stay in. Don't get enticed with what the world has to offer. Stay in and stay committed to the Lord. And I'll tell you, you'll have a whole lot better road that you travel on. And then when you get up like me, hopefully you're not as bald and overweight as I am, but when you get older and you get a few gray hairs, you look back and you won't have regrets. You won't have a bunch of stuff that you have to deal with. You young people folks thought you had a past today, didn't you? In verse 7 and 8, he says, "I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." You know, he was saying, "Lord, you've accomplished a lot." And if this is David especially, I think it was, "You've accomplished a lot in my life, but I'm going to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. You deserve it all. I've trusted you. I've left it to you. And whatever thing that had been accomplished in my life, it's you get the glory for it." Amen. And that's where, wherever God decides and ever how He decides to use us and bless us and whatever He does, let us never get to the point where we forget to give Him the glory for it. And we give Him the honor for it. And He gets all of the honor and the praise for it. In verse 9, and I like this. He said, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." You know, he's saying, "Lord, even though I'm getting a little older, even though I don't have the spring in my step that I used to, that I'm not what I used to be, but Lord, will you still use me? Will you still use me in your work? Will you still let me be a witness? Will you still let me be involved in the work? Will you still use me in my old age?" You know, I've not seen anywhere in the Bible where there's a retirement age of being a Christian. Nowhere to cash them in and say, "I've got it made now. I've counted them off and I've done this, I've done that, I've done that." He said, "Those that remain faithful unto the end, the same shall be saved." Amen. Amen. Those that endureth to the end. It's that being faithful and endurance, and we don't have a time to pull over. I tell you, it's too close to the end to pull over to the side of the road now. We need to be more involved now than we've ever been in the work of the Lord. We need to be more involved now witnessing to the lost than we've ever been. We don't have time to mess around with a bunch of nonsense. In Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14, this is the ESV version. "They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." This is of the aged, of the older. And he says here that they're still bearing fruit. They're still producing. They're still ripe and still full of vigor. Still got the zip. There was a man he was filling out an application for a nursing home. And he went through and was filling out everything right. And he got to the address and he got to the part where it said zip. And he put down about as much as normal for my age. Have we still got the zip for the Lord? Are we still concerned and fired up for the Lord? It don't matter how old we are. There's still things we can do. I've got a mother-in-law that's involved in the work of the Lord, and she don't get out of the house a whole lot. I'm telling you, nobody encourages folks anymore than my mother-in-law does. She's got a ministry. And we can have ministries no matter how old we are, no matter how gray we are. You say, "I can't get around like I used to." Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of means of communication now. Technology's come a long way. I can remember when not every house had a phone. And when you did have it, you was on a party line. And if you happened to be on one with somebody that liked to talk a lot, you didn't get to talk a lot on that phone. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Ain't more than I thought it was. Yeah. Now we can send a text or anything. But I want to hit, I'm going to tell you some bad news. That was my introduction. 3 things that David asked for, and I want to hit, and I'll try to hit them as brief as possible. He said in verse 17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared wondrous works." I think that he was saying, "Lord, I thank you for the ones that taught me. I thank you, Lord, for the ones that taught me. I thank you for the ones that trained me when I was little. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for your primary Sunday school class teacher?" That's where I learned. It wasn't later on in life. That's where I learned Romans 6:23. I still remember seeing the plaque on the wall that she had, and it said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, that's the wrong verse, ain't it? But I remember that the things I was taught in primary class and in, I remember one time being in Bible school and it was the same teacher. And she said, who knows what we remember, what we studied last night? And I said, have you forgot already? But are you thankful for the ones that taught you? See, it's never too early to start training your kids and grandkids about the Lord. They say even when a woman's pregnant, it's good that she reads to that child every night. It's good to read to them when they're very young. It's good to train them. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to have them in a church service. It's good to have them in children's church. It's good to have them in Sunday school. It's good to have them involved in the work of the Lord and doing things and being around. I tell you what, some of our young people, what they're missing is some Holy Ghost-filled meetings. I tell you, I've been in meetings when it got almost out of hand where people was shouting and running up and down the aisles and people carried away in the Spirit of God. That's what we need today. Our kids and our grandkids need to see the power of God manifested in lives of godly people. See, someone is responsible for your early training and my early training in our lives. Someone played a big part in that. I believe David wrote this. You remember who David's great-grandmother was? Ruth. I'd say, I don't know if she actually got to train him or be around him, but I'll tell you what, she sure left a legacy. She sure left something for him behind. Amen. I could hear it now. Your great-grandma Ruth, she did this, she did that. See, that's David lived in the shadow of that. Obed and Jesse. This was a shadow that he lived in under great godly people. Is our grandkids and our families living under that shadow? Are we leaving that legacy? What are we going to be remembered for? See, is there one particular person that you can think of that taught you and prayed and taught you how to pray and taught you and read to you and taught you what it meant to be a Christian? Can you think back and think of maybe one? It was my mama mainly, but I got a lot of good training. But I learned to pray from my mama. I learned different things. And my brother the other day referred back to when my mama, she'd pray and she'd plead the blood all the time. He said, do you have any idea how many times I heard my mama say that? I said, probably as many as I did. Amen. Somebody, he said, thank you, Lord, for those that taught me. See, we owe a lot to our grandparents. And it says that over 5 million American children live with their grandparents. And here's some quotes, some more about our grandparents. The simplest toy, one which even the youngest child can operate, is a grandparent. Grandmas are moms with a lot of frosting. When Jeannie Calmer turned 120 years old, she was asked to describe her vision for the future. She replied very brief, well, when a reporter asked her what she liked best about being old, she answered, well, there's no peer pressure. That's the one good thing, isn't it? The next thing that I want to look at in verse 18. Verse 18, the first part of that verse, he said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. I believe his prayer request here was, help me to impact my generation. Help me to impact this generation, the generation that's coming up now. And he asked the Lord to let him live long enough till he could have an influence and an impact on that generation. Do we pray that? Are we concerned enough about it? The generation that's coming up, that we want to leave a long and lasting effect upon them. David wanted to leave something for this generation. He wanted to train them. He wanted to have an influence upon their life. He wanted to make a difference. Do we want to make a difference? Or do we just want to get by? Help me to reach this next generation. Help me to influence folks that need you. Help me to reach my family. Are we as concerned about the spiritual needs of our kids and our grandkids and the ones around as we are as concerned about what college they're going to go to? Are we as concerned about their spiritual needs? Are we as concerned as we are about what ball team they're going to play on? About what brand of clothes that we're going to put on them? Amen? Do we tell them the Bible stories? We tell them, and it's good that we tell them stories in the Bible and that they understand how powerful God is and everything. But let me tell you, ask you this, how many times do you share with them what God's done in your life? See, the Bible will be impressive, but when it's granddaddy and it's grandma and it's mom and daddy and they see that God has done a work in their life and God's worked miracles in their life and God becomes more real than He does through the Bible. Amen? Are we sharing what He's doing in our day-to-day lives? Not an old testimony, but a fresh one. This is what God done this week. This is what God done for me last week. This is how God's moved in my life. See, our young people need to hear this. We need to leave them this and impact this generation. Do you pray that your kids and grandkids marry Christians? You can't start too early praying that. It's not too early to start praying for Damon when to start who he marries. We started early with our nieces and nephews. Lord, help them marry somebody, a Christian. Help them to raise a Christian family. Help them to be Christians. That's we had prayed that for years and years. It's not too early to start praying that they'll grow up and your grandkids will be godly kids. Would you rather go see them in a play at church or at the prison? Amen? David's prayer was, Lord, let me live long enough to leave a legacy that'll change this generation. I want to read you, Brian Beals had quoted this, and it's about the evangelist John Wesley. He said, the evangelist John Wesley served the Lord in his senior years. In his lifetime, he rode 350,000 miles on horseback and preached some 40,000 different sermons. At the age of 83, he complained because he could only study for 15 hours a day. At the age of 86, he was concerned that he was becoming slothful because he was sleeping in until 5 o'clock a.m. At 87, he learned his 11th foreign language. And at 88, he was worried because he could only preach twice a week, 6 days a week. Twice a day, 6 days a week. Well, let me ask you something. How many's ever heard of the Methodists? Would you say John Wesley left a legacy? The Wesley family left a big legacy. John Wesley is a man of God. And he went full blast till the end. Could you imagine? Aggravated because he couldn't study over 15 hours a day. You don't know how bad I felt when I read this. I thought, Tim, you're missing a boat, brother. How devoted are we that this generation's getting educated in the Lord? Is it as important as other things? All right, we'll go to three. There was a young child asked a woman how old she was, and she said, I'm 39 and holding. He said, well, how old would you be if you let go? Amen. The third one is in verse 18, the last part of that verse. He said, well, let me read the whole verse. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Whew. I'm going to tell you, that is a big prayer request. He said, Lord, I don't not only want to influence while I'm alive, I want to influence everybody that lives after me. I'd say God granted that request, wouldn't you? We still talk about David. He's still one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's had more boldness and more faith than probably any of them in there, or as much. His view of God, his relationship with the Lord. He just set out watching his sheep and write these beautiful songs and write from his heart and pour his heart out to God and trusted the Lord so much when the bear rose up, he just ran and grabbed him. And the Bible says he grabbed him by the beard, the bear and the lion. I believe it. I believe that a whale swallowed Jonah. If the Bible said it, I'd believe Jonah swallowed a whale. Amen. David had a big part. David was in the lineage of the Messiah. You want to talk about a blessing? Are we praying, God, I want to influence the next generation and the one following and help me to do something in this life that'll impact way down the road. Amen. It's hard for us to look past Friday, ain't it? Help me that I may state truths which may benefit future generations. Wouldn't you like to be quoted 500 years from now? I really don't think the world will be here, but we've got to plan on live like it is. 500 years from now, they say, you know, Dan Johnson, you say, Ray Hill, you say, amen. So I'm afraid that one of the problems that we have in today's time is that we have lost the concern for the future generations. We're so concerned and worried about getting through this and that we're not worried as much about the one that's come. I've been trained and taught and to hear that we're supposed to leave wherever we are better than we found it. Whatever position, whatever job that we have, what anything that we do ought to be better when we leave than when we got there. If we borrow a tool, it needs to be in better shape when it goes back than it was when we borrowed it. Amen? That's this good old farmer's logic, isn't it? Old country boy logic. And wherever we are, that we ought to be, your community and my community ought to be a better place because we live there. Our church ought to be better because we're there. Our workplace ought to be better because we live there. Or work there. Some lives there, I guess. Feels like it anyway, though. See, we're reaping from the ones in the past. We're living. And some of the blessings and benefits that we have has come from the legacy of ones that's left before us. And the people that's involved in us. Now what are we going to be remembered for, and what are we doing for the next generation? See, Esther and Mordecai said, Haman's trying to get rid of the Jews, and she said, I can't go before the king. He said, well, if you don't, deliverance will come from somewhere else. What if she hadn't carried through and went on? Somebody else, they'd have been in the book of somebody else instead of the book of Esther. But she stood up in her generation and did what the Lord called her and said for her to do. And was involved in the work of that generation. In Acts 13:36, this is what the Bible says of David. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. After he had served the purpose in his own generation, we've got a purpose to serve in our generation. Are we serving that purpose? Are we doing what God's called us to do? I've worked around people and known people that Lord had called them to preach earlier on in life and they ran from it. And now they were out of fellowship with the Lord and wasn't doing anything for the Lord. When we're called, when God deals with us, see, we're to be busy. Does your neighbors and your family and your co-workers know your testimony? I want to read one more thing and then we'll close. According to a report from America's Senior Volunteers, just 17% of adults age 55 and over who were not directly asked to volunteer actually end up volunteering. 17%. Among those who were asked, however, 84% or more than four times of them volunteered. 17% when they wasn't asked, 84% when they was asked. This morning, the Lord's asking you to get involved and make a difference in lives of young people. Deliberately get involved in some young person's life. Deliberately make a way to impact some younger family or younger person's life. Do something that years down the road they'll say, I remember. Alfred Cutshaw, and I know I've told you this, Preacher Cutshaw came and visited Rhonda and I when we were on the road working. Come home one weekend and just so happened he called us home. And he came and talked to us and he left. Said there's some folks over there to love you. Several years later, we got ready to start going to church, and we were going to go around different churches. And I said, let's go to that church there first. That's the only guy that's ever come and visit us. Let's go to his church first. We didn't get to go anywhere else. They loved us in when we got there. But see, he left an impression. He left an impression on my life. And when I got into where I had spiritual needs and I wanted to do something about it, I knew where to go. Amen. They may not listen to you right now, but one day they will. We may be dead and gone, but they'll still say, boy, I remember what that preacher, I remember what that person, that deacon. And they'll know where to go when times get tough. Amen. Are we impacting our generation and the one to come? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day and in our generation and for the purpose that you have for us in our generation that we will accomplish the will and the goal that you have for us, that we will step up to the plate, we will nurture, bring up our kids and the ones that's around us and the ones under our influence, Lord, that we can have such an impact on them they'll never forget it and they'll want to be have what we've got. Lord, help us today to recommit and commit, Lord, to following you and
get involved in people's lives. Lord, help us today to think of folks that we can reach out to. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for all your many wonderful blessings. Lord, accomplish what you have for us today in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand for the invitation.
Will you come this morning?
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus.
You may be here and never asked the Lord into your heart. You may never been saved. Will you come? Turn your life over to Him. Or maybe there's a question. It's under your care. That's been appointed unto you in your generation. If we don't have one, I think we'll get one. If we've got one, let's come and pray that God will encourage us and give us the strength to carry on. Will you come? Will you come?
Oh, how sweet.
Do we have any grandparents? grandparents here today that's older than that? We have any older than 85? Any older than 80? What about older than 80? How many grandparents do you have older than 80? I know Miss has. What are you elder 80?
84 next month.
84 next month. We have any 84 or older? All right. So the 82 is Miss Evans. Amen. Do we have any grandparents younger than 40? Any grandparents younger than 40? What about Dennis Lake? We're younger than 45. 45 or younger? Any grandparents 50 or younger? Yeah. Any others? Grandparents with the most grandchildren present today. You have any with 5 present today? I mean, 4 present today? About 3? Okay. All right. Jackie and Amy.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So, Miss Amy. Grandparents Day instead of Mother's Day, Amy. All right, well, we got a Donna had put down a new category here for first time grandparents. Who's got the youngest one? And what's the name of your grandparent? Charlotte Amy. All of our grandparents, would you stand? We want to recognize all of our grandparents. Now we want to recognize all of our grandchildren. If you're a grandchild, would you stand? Amen. Does anybody have anything on your heart before we go? Remember Prayer Tuesday, the worship service Wednesday. The gift for Damien next Sunday. Also, a dynamic speaker had a hard time landing this one, but I just wanted